I do ask for your prayers. Again, we want the focus to be on the Lord and not the man. I was listening to those songs, and I want to tell you I really appreciate them. They are of great importance and great message. I was listening to those girls sing that song, "All Jesus, I Give You My All." And I remember when I was back around their age, and sometimes the ideals that I had, and then I remember all the changes that happened. And you young ones, I want to encourage you. If time goes on, you're going to meet things, and you're going to be making very important decisions in life. And I just want you to keep your focus. In all your ups and downs of life, I beg of you, continue to hold the message of that song dear in your heart, all for Jesus, at whatever cost that might be. It's very, not, I say this to these young folks because I love you little, you younger ones, not just the young children, but as you old, and I love every one of you. And I know I've been over the road enough. I'm not as old as some of you in here, but I've been over the road enough to know we meet all kinds of things in life. And God help us to keep the message of that song very dear. I'm sorry. What's here's the point. But I really appreciate that, and I want let's all embrace that. All for Jesus. Sometimes I know that with the pressures of life and all the things that come against us, sometimes they seem to detract us at least in some level. But don't let it cause us to lose our focus. I also was listening to that song that I'm redeemed. What a hope that's in that song. And I've thought many times when I've sung that song, I thought, oh, that's a rejoicing song. And it is. But the Lord has changed a little bit my perception of that when I began to think of it this way. Actually, what I was a condemned man, condemned on my way to the executioner's chamber. I was headed there quickly. And on the way, there was one that stood up and said, "Could I take your place?" And there was nothing I had to offer him that made him decide to take my place. Nothing. But he stood up and he said, "Could I do it?" And he hung on the cross until he said, "That's finished." And now I behold that scene, and I say with great joy in my heart, but with also great humility, I'm redeemed. And I can't thank him enough. Please excuse my tears. He's made a great change in my life. And I'm really not ashamed of my tears. I remember as a young man and the things that the devil had tried to develop in me. There was a hardness that grew over me, a coldness that was an indifference, a hatred of myself and my fellow man. The devil was intent on destroying me. And he dried up my emotions to the point that for quite a time that there was no tears flowed from these eyes. But the night I came broken to the Lord, he changed me. And so I will not tell you I'm ashamed of my tears, because these aren't tears of sorrow, but tears of great, deep joy. That the Lord has changed me. And I know within myself I don't deserve it. But I'm so very grateful. And I want to recommend him to everyone. Oh, taste and see. The Lord is so very good. I guess what I have on my mind, I believe the Lord has dealt with me today. Hope for recovery. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart. I know it. Very possibly we may all, I don't know where you are tonight. But that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. So I'm going to tell you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Hope for recovery. I would like to take for our text a book over here in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. There's a story that's found here. And there is a line in this story where the question was asked to the prophet Ezekiel, can these bones live? We want to deal with some of that tonight. Let's pick up the story here in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. So the hand of Ezekiel says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Quite a scene. These were human bones. And when I recognize the bones, human bones, they always testify. I live out on a farm. And I, once in a while, I own cattle and have cattle still, and once in a while something happens and you lose an animal. And normally she's over around a draw somewhere and the coyotes, the what remains is bones. And some of those animals I have driven by the remains, the skeletal remains, and they remind me, some of them remind me that this one I could have saved if I would have been there. They're reminders of what used to be. They're reminders of possibility that failed. They're reminders of life that was. They're reminders of a hope that failed. This man, Ezekiel, the prophet, was led into a valley that was full of bones. A whole lot of failed lives. A whole lot of hopes came to the point where they came to an abrupt end, and the only thing left now is bones. And at one point in this story, it calls them very dry bones. They're bleached out. It looks like there is absolutely no hope. And I want to tell you, if you led me to some of the skeletal remains and you ask me, can this stand up again? I would say, you know how many years that's been there? It's not going to happen. And sometimes in our human view of other people who we look on and we look at their bones, we look at their skeletal remains laying around, looking like they are hopeless. There is no hope. I want to tell you, God looks at it differently. He took this prophet there and he said, look at all these bones. And the prophet saw them. Didn't deny their condition. Didn't say, let's play like they're alive. No, because playing like we're alive doesn't make it. We need the divine intervention of God in our life. We can't make ourselves live. There has to be the breath of life flow into you and I. And that only comes from God. It doesn't come from a desire to be different or to turn over a new page. That comes, this kind of change comes from the divine. When I get to the place, I say, please, Lord, breathe your breath of life into me. I want you to know sometimes we get ourselves in situations, and I was like that at the age. I look back and I was very young, but I remember thinking there was no hope for my future. I was 17 years old, feeling that emptiness and hopelessness of the future. And I was at that place, and the devil was constantly barraging my mind of the thought that there is actually no hope for you and you may as well end it now. That's what the devil does. He'll fill our minds with this hopeless, your bones are dried and God wouldn't want you anyway. They said that to me a number of times. And I remember through the hard-hearted position that I was in, the Lord somehow broke through those walls. And the main thing that He helped me to know is that I love you even as you are. And He said, I want to be your father if you'll be my son. And once that broke through and that knowledge really bloomed upon my understanding, folks, the love of God broke the heart, an impenitent heart. The love of God did it. And as He began to work in me and change me, I want to tell you the question here that says, can these bones live? I can tell you unequivocally, yes, it can. It can stand up. Second verse, He caused me to pass through them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Have you been noticing any dry bones around? Have you noticed the shape of many souls, our neighbors, sometimes our very self? The devil is trying to sap the life out of you and I right here. Sometimes he would get us in such a discouraged situation, a discouraged state, that would feel like that there's really no sense in going on. I'm going to tell you, that's a devil. Don't allow that to happen. Keep your focus all for Jesus. Everything. I will not turn back. But there are some people who are captivated by Satan. And I want to tell you, I know that's a hard taskmaster. I know by experience it's a hard taskmaster to go the way that the devil would prescribe in our lives. I want to tell you, I know, as brother, I think in the song that they sang, they came for, in the song, it mentioned something about coming for your reward or what, and I found out that it was terrible reward. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Walked around in this valley. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy. And that's what I'm here tonight to tell you. I cannot see behind the facade that may be in your life right now. I cannot see that. You may have me completely snowed, but God sees. And I don't know. I'm not here to accuse anyone. I want to encourage you. Can these bones live? And definitely they can. I want to bring forth to us tonight a message of hope, a message of establishment in God, a message of peace in our soul, a place where God can rule and the very presence and essence of God can fill your life with joy, a joy that surpasses the natural joy of the world, something that will take us through even the down times of life with the knowledge that I'm on the side of God. I know the Lord loves me and I'm His child. I'm owned. He hasn't turned His back on me. I am His child, and you can walk away. You can enjoy the deep seated knowledge in your heart that I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. I got bought back. I was on the way to my execution, and I deserved my execution, but there was one that came and said, let me stand in His place. And that every time I think of that scene, that melts my heart yet, and I hope it always does. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord, Thou knowest. Again, He spoke to me and He said, prophesy to them. This is not just a man-made speech. This is the Word of God being spoken. It says you can live. This is the breath of God. I know right now, I know God is using human lips to tell you this, but please see it beyond the words of Ivan and understand that God Himself is saying you can live. Prophesy. I hope that hope begins to be birthed within your mind and you recognize there is a God from Calvary calling to me through His Son. And He wants what's left of your life. He wants to change. And He wants to make new. And He wants to make right. And He wants to cause hope to spring forth where despair once ruled. Yeah. And I know what that's like, folks. I've been there. And I know, last night I said I've been saved over 30 years, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It's been a divine change in my heart. And I recommend this one to you. Can these bones live? I know this much. There was a monumental struggle going on in my mind, and the devil kept trying to say there's no way. In fact, he painted so many pictures to me saying, well, you can't restore all this that you've done. There's no way you can go back and pick up. It's too far from here to there. You can't ever make your wrongs right. And even if you did come to the Lord, He wouldn't want you anymore. You remember those times when you intentionally spoke words of anger to Him. You remember those times that you used a foul confronting to God. And the devil said, you blasphemed His name and you've committed the unpardonable sin. The devil will use every trick he knows how. I want to tell you what, he was lying then and he's still lying. Can these bones live? Yes. These bones can live. The prophecy that the Lord wants to get across to us tonight is yes, indeed, you can live. The divine deep-seated change can happen in our life. Put your focus on the Lord. Put your eternal hope on Jesus Christ, on God through Jesus Christ. Anchor it there. Do not let your focus change. Anchor your love in the Lord. Spend the rest of your life. Invest the rest of your life. All that you are now and all that you may ever be, invest that in the Lord. Do not take it back. Say, Lord, you can have what's left of this burned out old shell and you can have it. Oh, you can. And you know what He does? He gives beauty for the ashes that we're giving. The oil of joy for mourning. The weeping that I had. Let me tell you why. It goes on down. I'll shorten this story. It goes on down. And as the prophet began to prophesy, as he began to call to the winds of God, the four winds. This is talking about the very moving divine action of God. And he began to call for the Lord to intervene. The Lord intervened. And you know what began to happen in those lives? The bones began to come together. Divinely, folks, bones, when they're dried up like that, cannot reconnect. That's the moving of God. And they began to come together. And they stood up. And they became an army for the Lord. God wants an army yet today that's divinely charged by His presence. That goes forth and shows His glory when you go to school, when you go out on the job, when you go out as a group, when you go out as an individual. He wants you to be part of that divine army, standing up, charged with the very presence of God, that testifies with a brand of holiness on your forehead that I am God's child. And as we go out as an image of God, as we go out under His charge, people recognize that. You don't really have to wear any kind of t-shirt that says anything. Just wear it as who you are. And I want to tell you, He'll put His brand right there. Brand His mark. His acceptance. His proof. His mark of ownership on you and I. And as we go out and we go and we just act like we are, people recognize that. They begin to like it. I was hanging cabinets in a man's house. When I first walked up there, he was a big, burly, red-headed fellow with a hat turned around backwards and smoking a cigarette and had a goatee and looked kind of rough and talked pretty rough. And I went in there talking to him like I normally do. I began to go to work on his house. And normally, you know, people, when I go to work, normally they kind of leave me alone a little. He wanted to be there and he wanted to talk. And the more he began to talk, he told me about his 2-year-old child that had died about a year ago. Began to tell me about things in his life. And he said, after a while, he said, I know one other person that has a shine about them like you do. He said, he's a Christian. What brand was he seeing? I didn't tell him. He was drawn by a magnet. People need help, folks. There are dry bones out there. God wants you and I to prophesy. Be who God has called you to be. Let Him put His brand on our hearts and on our foreheads. Let Him testify in our lives. Don't detract from His glory. Let the Lord mold you into His shape and His honor and His glory. Well, let me tell you some of the reason why. As these bones began to come together, the word of the Lord, and they stood up and they were an army, they became alive. I want to tell you there is hope for you. And listen to this one. You say this is Old Testament scripture, and that's true. But let's go over what Jesus said. You all remember it's one of the most probably memorized verses in the scripture. John 3:16. I want to remind you of what Jesus said. Well, John 13:16, it doesn't work very well. Let me go to John 3:16 here. John 3:16. For God so loved everyone but me. No, that's not what He said. For God so loved the world, and you and I are included individually. If He was here, He'd call out your name, and I hope you hear it tonight. He calls your name because He knows it. He knows who you are. Nothing's hidden. He knows who we are. He knows how bad I've been. He knows. And He's calling our personal name. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not, you don't have to go on and dry up and die. There is hope. That's what He's saying here. Giving you the same message that's over in Ezekiel. You don't have to die. The bones can rise up. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then let's go on. For God sent not His Son into the world just to condemn. And folks, I know I've been there. We know when we're not right. He didn't have to come reinforce it. You're being so bad. I knew it. And what made me feel the worst is that He still loved me over my badness. Worse, maybe it made me feel full of hope, but it accentuated my need. So I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Oh, what a wonderful release. When I know that I am guilty, when I know that I deserve the just recompense of who I have been, and I know that I am here incarcerated for the and folks, if we are, maybe we're outside of prison walls right now, but if we are a slave to Satan, we're incarcerated. And I'm here under his, I'm a slave to this thing. But yet the Lord comes by. Remember what Jesus said when He began His ministry? He opened up the book of Isaiah and He began to read. And He read that one over in Isaiah about Him coming by and letting the prisoner go free. Those who were blind, He gave sight. Those who were crippled, He healed. Those who were in need. And He closed up the book. And everybody looked at Him. They'd heard those words before, but not like this. They looked at Him. You see, prophecy was taking place. And Jesus said, today, this is opened up. Today, it's the day of salvation. Today, it's begun. Don't need to be condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. No more time. I want to run quickly over here into Psalms. It's the first chapter of Psalms. Yeah. The man is blessed. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The one that chooses not to stand where the sinner stands. He chooses not to sit. Now, understand, I'm paraphrasing that you can read it. I'll read it like it's written. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If I want to have the blessing of the Lord, He's telling me, don't invest in a scornful, in a sinful way. If you want your life, and folks, God's waiting to bless our lives. So the man is blessed that turns from those things consciously. Recognize I've had enough. I'm tired of the scornful way. I'm tired of the sinning way. I'm tired of these things that has only brought me sorrow in my life. And as we turn from that, that man is blessed. That his delight is in God's way. And what God says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he lets his mind run. He begins to seek God's way. In his law, does he meditate day and night? Let your thoughts and your ambitions run, seek out the place that the Lord would have in your life. There's a blessing there, folks. There is a sweet way in the presence of God. And God calls to you and I, can these bones live? Oh, yes, they can. There's a blessing in this way. There's a life in this way. There's a divine action that happens in our life. There's a divine changing goes on. The potter is at work in our heart. The sculptor takes the hard block of granite that we are and he begins to chip off those things that are unlike him and removes them. That's the divine work of God. And when he's done, you will look the express image of God because he's doing it. Oh, I want to tell you today, the sculptor knows exactly how to work. Let him work. Let your mind meditate on his law. Run in his ways. Let your mind invest in the ways of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We've had a very hot and dry summer. Over where I live anyway, we had our corn just all burned. It was a very disappointing crop season. A lot of things. And I've seen trees being lose their leaves. A lot of things happen that hopes that change. But the one who invests in the Lord will be like the tree that's down by the creek. Or down in the where the river is. Where there's eternal flow nourishing that tree. And he won't see when the heat comes. It won't be affected because his root is in the ways of the Lord. I want to tell you, the heat's at work today. Look at the blast of sin on this world, upon this culture that we live in. Look at what it's doing. The heat's on. I beg of you, anchor down by the stream. Invest your mind in your ways, in your thoughts, in the ways of the Lord. Plant right down there where he is. Grow up around his feet. Look him full in the face and thank him every now and then. And may it break our hearts when we look at Calvary and then we say, I'm redeemed. That's what he did for me. Oh, let it mold our life. It will change our perspective. It will give us strength to go through hard times. When everybody else doesn't like us, he will cause us to say, I'm still going to be here because my Father is here. I'm going to stand. It's not just being bullheaded either. It's being tied to him through great cords of love that I don't want to break. This is where the blessing, blessed is that man. That man finds a deep-seated peace in the middle of the rolling ocean. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth her fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Prosper, oh, if you're going to try to look to be a millionaire, that's not what he's talking about. The Lord may make, if he makes you a millionaire, you won't, your love won't be on that anyway. But don't look at it for that. Look, this is where you want to prosper. In the ways of righteousness. In the ways of peace. That way when you can come home at night to your wife, and there's, it's just a great peace in your home. That, folks, it's a blessing. Young folks, I want to tell you, invest in God. Children, let the Lord lead your life. A good home, a good family, it is a great and a valuable thing, and this is the way you get it. That man's blessed. And I want to tell you, I've tried both ways. The one way, I just gave over to the fleshly passions and thought that's what I wanted to do. I came to the end. I came to the point where I looked myself in the mirror and hated who I had become. But I've tried also a different road. And I found the peace of God. And I have found what the Lord has built in my life. And I have what men always I've sought for. I found fulfillment. I have a wife that loves me, children that love me. I have the blessing of the Lord. And I don't deserve it. This is what God created. And I am only drawn to Him greater in love because of what He's done. I recommend Him to you. Blessed is that man. But it says the ungodly aren't like that. The ungodly are tossed around. You ever notice that? And I know when I was living for the devil, I was always having to do what everybody thought was popular. Did you know if everybody thought it was popular, young boys would walk around with the pants hanging halfway down, looking, you know they're doing that? Are they bumming? Ignorant? And the devil drives us, makes us look like a fool. I have engaged in things that the next day I thought, what did I do? Hated who I'd become. But I've never felt that way living for the Lord. I always woke up the next morning with a great peace in my soul. Oh, thank the Lord. Blessed is that man. I want to recommend him to you. And I want to again tell you, I want to prophesy to every one of us here tonight. If we find in our heart a place that's not right, if we find bones, and if we have tried to put up a facade and act like the bones are alive, and they're rattling, and they're getting very dry, I want to tell you, is there a place of recovery? Yes. Is there a place of salvation? Is there hope for tomorrow? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. There is a God who specializes in broken lives. And He takes them and He puts them back together. And He calls to them and makes them rejoin and rebuild. And they stand up and they go forth with life. If the Lord's talking with you this evening, I want to ask you for your own sake, for your own, come and be saved. Thank you.